Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, we randomly insert air horns so you don't fall asleep during Zelda's lullaby. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I am always joined, by my co-host and band leader, Mark Mitchell. We're doing a music thing.
We are doing a music thing.
Yeah.
Unless
you want me to be band leader and you want to be host.
No, I'm fine being okay. Band leader. We are not actually going to insert air horns into this episode, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, not unless you want me to.
No. Well, I'll leave it.
Drop like a couple, like, right. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do any of them. Mark, did you see that my favorite movie of all time, The Abyss, is coming back to theaters?
I did
for
see.
One night only.
Yeah, see, I did see.
You're out of town on December 6th.
I
right?
am. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to buy a bunch of tickets and just invite everyone I know. So I'm sorry that you're out of town, but I'm turning it. This is like party mode.
I am bummed to be missing it. Are they, I saw that it was coming back. Have they like remastered the effects?
It's a 4K restoration special edition, which is different from the director's cut, which was the one that was like re-released, in like 91 or whatever. And James Cameron is like, there are new surprises in it that, like, I'm very excited. I love The Abyss. I know there's, to date, no perfect version of it. Like, both the director's cut and the original theatrical cut have different problems. But I am so excited for there to be a third version of this thing and to see it in the theater, which I've never done.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm very sad to be missing it.
Also, what's it? One night. What is this?
One night only.
What is that?
I'm gonna tell you. I don't know for sure.
Oh, you did not expect to be called on that
because it sounded. I think it might be from. Okay, well, I think probably what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Is way different from what it sounds like in my head.
Sure.
But I think it might be from Dreamgirls.
Okay, I don't know Dreamgirls, so it could be.
And I know it enough that I think maybe the song is from it, but
yeah,
not
much more than that.
Yeah,
Well, that's great. We're off to a good start. Let's just point people to our Patreon, patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where you can go and support us if you like. At the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you get access to our once a month episodes of miniseries that we put out. We've done detective shows. We've done Broadway shows. We're about to embark on NCS Arcade, where we're going to be playing games on Nintendo Switch Online and the expansion pack that Mark and I have never beaten before.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
And the first one of these that we're going to be doing is The Legend of Zelda, the Minish Cap. So we're starting off with an expansion pack one. Which I think is okay. You should play along with us if you are interested in doing that and in hearing us talk about it. And then beyond that, you should join our Discord. You can email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. We can send you an invitation to the Discord where we will... I think we do a lot of rankings on this show. And I think the ranking that we are about to embark on is like... even more subjective than anything else we've ever done. So I expect a lively debate on this one on the Discord.
I think so too.
But Mark, let's get into it. Let's rank the Ocarina music from The Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time. All right. Mark, why are we doing this?
It is the 25th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Originally released in Japan on November 21st, 1998, and November 23rd in North America.
Love a good Thanksgiving game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you think people thought of this as a Thanksgiving game at the time? That they were like, turkey, mashed potatoes, and ocarinas.
Oh, I bet people were giving thanks to Nintendo for Ocarina of Time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Thank you so much to listener Jason, who suggested this by sending us an email, NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. This is a good idea, and I think something that we've been kind of kicking around for a while that... you know, we like ranking these sort of esoterica of individual games or of series and stuff. And the ocarina pieces of music in Ocarina of Time are so, they're aesthetic, but they're also like they all have gameplay functions. And so there are so many different dimensions that we will have to talk about them through that I think this is gonna be interesting. And I have genuinely no idea how it's going to go.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Sometimes, you know, we come into these and we have our personal favorites mm-hmm. or one that feels like it's going to be number one. I really don't know with this.
Yeah, it feels like there are a couple of, like, sort of iconic songs, like the pieces that Link learns early, just that you end up using them more. But, like, are those the best pieces of music? They're sort of, like, the simplest. Very fascinated to see how all of this goes. Mark, how would you describe your relationship to the Ocarina songs? Do you have them, like, under your fingers? Do you, like, as you play through Ocarina of Time, do you, like, remember them? Are you always looking them up? What's your relationship to these little pieces of music?
Yeah, I definitely can't just recall the, like, Ocarina notes you're supposed to play off the top of my head. And I feel like there's a... I would say it's about 50-50. There's about 50% of these when I was looking at the title, I was like, oh yeah, I definitely know that one.
Right.
And then there's about 50% that I think when I hear it, I'll remember it. But I can't recall it off the top of my head based just on the song. How about you?
A lot of them I have the buttons like memorized. But I would say more than that, I know the music of them, right? That like, you can point to one and then I can like sing it and then have to like translate that to Ocarina by way of
Nintendo 64 controller.
Or as we are going to be using today, a Nintendo 3DS to be our sort of like live band jukebox here. As we talk about,
but I'm the band leader.
You're the band leader.
That Nintendo 3DS should know its place.
I mean, I'm the band here. You can be the band leader. I'm fine.
That's
with
all
that.
I want. I just want the title.
Right, right. So first I wanted to like kind of dig, and I think it is important that we sort of like set the stage for how unique of a game mechanic this Ocarina is, and the fact that they like kind of put a extremely limited but sort of real instrument into this game.
And how also it just became kind of a template for 3D Zelda. There was an expectation that Link would have a musical instrument and you will use it. I mean, you know, you have the
Wind Waker.
The Wind Waker.
Yeah.
In Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. You have like Link, Wolf Link.
Yeah, that's
howling.
That's one of the like kind of poor applications of it that like it never Wolf Link howling a tune never really sounds like the tune. They're also like very context sensitive. Like you can't just like sit down and be like, I'm gonna jam out with Wolf Link. just like you can't really jam out with the Wind Waker. Like the Ocarina, I feel like, is the purest form of this, where if you want to just play it like an instrument, you sort of can.
Yeah.
But okay, so the Ocarina, I want to just like go over some of what the actual like musical mechanics.
Sorry, I'm just gonna say the goddess's harp from Skyward Sword. Oh, yeah. Gotta name them all.
Yes, thank you. which can you just pull that one out and play it whenever? No, right?
I feel like it's mostly used just in very specific locations.
Right, and you're like strumming it more than anything.
Yeah, in rhythm. And that's really, I feel like, the part of it is just like keeping the rhythm.
Yeah, which is also like that's what the Wind Waker is. The Ocarina is melodic, right? It wants you to play a melody. And speaking of melodies, just want to talk about what the actual Ocarina can do. So it's five notes that are played with the C buttons and the A button. Is that right?
I think that's right.
I think that's right, because the B button takes you out of it. But these five notes are based on the D Dorian scale. So that's from D to D. It spans a full octave. The lowest note and the highest note are the same note, one octave apart. And it's only five, you know, three other notes like in between those two octave points. And they are D, F, A, B, and D again. So all in D Dorian, but like kind of crucially not in like the key of D major or the key of D minor, even though it like hovers around this like tonic of D. So I apologize if any of this gets too music theory-y, but I just want to like it's interesting how limited the range on the ocarina is and how many discrete melodies are based off of like little nuggets that just come from these five notes, and how these five notes don't like fit super nicely into any one key.
When you say that there's five notes, you mean that there's like five notes that are being used to create the music, because in the game itself, it requires six button inputs in order to.
Yes. So five different notes. And a lot of them are three repeated twice, right? And I guess the Bolero of Fire is eight notes, right? Because it's da do da do da do da do, 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8.
And the I think that's right. Plus the which we're not going to be talking about, but because it can be anything, it could be the most beautiful music in the world. The Scarecrow song.
It's probably not going to be the most beautiful music in the world.
But it could be.
But it is not.
We're not going to be talking about that one either.
Right.
And that's also like eight inputs in order to, that you have to put in.
Right.
And so the Scarecrow song is a song that like you make it up. And then when you see the Scarecrow or like the location where the Scarecrow can be in different areas, you play that song again and it's what summons him. But because you make it up, it can be, again, the most beautiful music in the world.
Right. But
so
it
it's
won't
number
be.
One
it will
in
not
our
be.
Hearts.
No, and last. It's like Baby Park. the ocarina will play notes beyond the five that you can play by straight pushing the buttons. You can bend the pitches either like up or down a whole or half step, depending on where it is in the scale. All like diatonic to that D Dorian mode. The game never makes you do that. And then after you play the sort of like key phrase, the ocarina will continue and usually play notes that the ocarina can't play otherwise. And they all have like different accompaniment, which will sort of fill out the harmonic information to let us know if we're in the key of D, sometimes we're in the key of G, sometimes we're in the key of E. And there are some like funny things that happen with like the way all of the warp songs start in minor keys, and well, with the exception of the Nocturne of Shadow, which doesn't obey any music rules. but the other three of the or the other five of the adult songs start off in minor keys and end in major keys. And again, it's doing this harmonically like complicated stuff within just a couple measures of music. All is like very smartly and compactly composed. It's all just really fun stuff to like really dig into, and I'll try not to be boring about it from here on out.
No, I think it's a really interesting perspective on all of this, and I'm really excited to start hearing these songs on the Nintendo 3DS, because even when we were doing tests a little bit earlier, there's so much memory tied up in hearing.
Yeah.
You know, somebody just working their way through a Nintendo 3DS.
So what we're going to do is, I guess we're going to hear some of these pieces of music by pulling up my trusty ocarina here. Got a little bit of ocarina happening there. Just kind of like working our way through these pieces of music. Mark, where are we starting?
Yeah, let's start at the top. So we're going to start with Zelda's Lullaby. And in totality, because we're not going to do the Scarecrow song, because again, it is both the most beautiful and least beautiful piece of music ever written.
Yep.
There are 12 total songs that we're going to be talking about. Six basically that you get when you're a kid and six, as an adult Link.
So we're going to start here with Zelda's Lullaby as sort of the like table stakes. This is the, you know, song of the, royal family of Hyrule. It goes like this. Pretty simple. I that's one of the like easier ones to like remember the inputs to, and like as far as the gameplay is concerned, it like unlocks a lot of like when there's a Triforce thing on the ground, it'll let you in.
So this one is, well, how much analysis do we want to get into each one as we play them? Or like thoughts, or do we want to go through all of them and then kind of like double back?
I think do we want to try to do tiers at this point?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
As we're playing them.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. So Zelda's Lullaby.
Iconic.
Iconic. And that's kind of where I'm immediately I'm interested in your thoughts on how to handle this, because are we judging it as a piece of Ocarina music? By like isolated, because Zelda's Lullaby, and we hear a little bit of a more lushly orchestrated version of it, you know, when the after you finish your inputs, but it's used as underscore in so many different parts of the Zelda series, like after Ocarina of Time going forward. You know, it features heavily in Twilight Princess, it features heavily in Skyward Sword, you know what I mean, where it's just like, so it's, yeah. So that's where I'm struggling, because like as a piece of music for the Zelda franchise,
it's kind of a big deal.
Easily, like in a top tier. And so yeah.
But I agree with that, and I agree with like the difficulty of that, because it's also like it's sort of unremarkable in its in like its greater orchestration, and is just like, it feels like table stakes to me, which is also like, is that good or is that bad? I don't really know.
Yeah. Maybe because it's the first one, we can do anything we want with it and then adjust around it. We put it in B tier.
Let's put it in B tier. Yeah. All right. Mark, what's next?
So up next is Epona's Song.
Okay, here we go. Epona's Song, the song of the horse and of the ranch, goes like this. Played it poorly, but that one I find to be very charming and pastoral, does a very nice job of just with those the same three notes that Zelda's Lullaby used, just rearranged, is very charming. I am tempted to put that one in the A tier. I feel like it's more effective than Zelda's Lullaby at conveying what it does.
Yeah, and I think with these two in, and we'll see what happens with the third, because then the pattern will truly be established.
Yes.
But I feel like we are kind of narrowing our focus to the ocarina-ness of it, you know, like how effective it is in those, you know, six notes, or eight in the case of the Bolero of Fire. But so yeah, I agree with you. I think is just like a discrete little piece of music that is played on your ocarina, I think Epona's Song is A tier.
All right, A tier. Where are we going next?
Next up is Saria's Song.
So this is a song of the forest, and it goes like this. I need two hands for this. And of course, Navi has asked me if I want to talk to Saria, and then also if I want to talk to her. I said no to both.
Man, talk about a song that is synonymous with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I mean, because it plays incessantly as you're in the Lost Woods.
It does, yes.
Yeah, I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? How do you feel?
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's probably also an A tier song.
Yeah.
Okay. Putting that in the A tier. Mark, where to next?
So this is Sun Song, which it's found in the royal family's tomb in the Kakariko Village graveyard. And this is the one where Link can play it whenever like Rededs or Gibdos are around, and they'll be stunned momentarily.
Is this not also the one that will change day to night and night to day?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It will. I find this one a little bit unremarkable.
I also find it unremarkable. It's also not really, you know, it claims to be the sun's song, but it's really just the melody with, like, no real accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it ends with that, like, I'm like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
C tier?
I think C tier.
All right. C tier is going over here on top of the Focusrite preamp. Okay. Next, Mark.
Song of Time. So this is the song that's required to open the door of time and obtain the Master Sword.
That's a pretty good one.
It is pretty good. I was thinking, so I think it's better than Sun's Song, for sure.
I agree with that.
I want to say it's on par with Zelda's Lullaby.
But like, I feel like it's better than Zelda's Lullaby, but I don't think it's a categorically different than Zelda. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I think it's
yeah,
still
within, yes.
In that B tier. It's also weird that like you stop playing it midway through the phrase, right? Because it's that ba-boo-boo-ba-boo-boo.
And that's it.
And then it takes over.
Uh-huh.
And when it takes over, it repeats that and then finishes. Which it's very cool when it finishes itself, but it feels very, in a way that the rest of these, especially these kid ones, don't. Like these all feel like complete statements when you play.
Right.
Them.
The Song of Time feels like the best part is out of your control.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, now the last of the kid songs.
Yes, the Song of Storms.
Song of Storms. And this is a crazy one, so here we go. Of course, that made it rain.
Okay, so I love the Song of Storms as a like complete piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to hear a little bit of it. You know, when the ocarina takes over after you've inputted your notes. I feel like it belongs with Saria's song and Epona's song.
Like it belongs in the A tier?
Uh-huh.
All right. This is all good, like, preliminary work. And I think there's going to be more motion within these tiers once we really start, like, comparing them. The Song of Storms, it's very... when you hear it in the windmill and like the crazy guy is just like playing on the organ grinder, is one of the like most quintessentially Zelda moments in
right.
that game. Like it's weird and it's a little creepy, but like it's also fun. I don't know. It's it's a special piece of music tied to like a special thing in the game.
So now we get to the warp songs. So you learn these during your quest and they will take you outside of like the different temples that you'll visit.
I like that all of these have like different names. Like, you know, a lot of the rest of these are songs, right?
Uh-huh.
Song of Storm, Saria's song. Zelda's Lullaby, I guess, is the outlier here. But all of the warp songs are named for like specific kinds of music. And sometimes it's really reflected in what it sounds like. But so let's start with the Minuet of the Forest. We're not warping to the forest temple. You know, that's so clearly in like a little minuet waltz.
Ooh, I love this one. I love this one.
I kind of think all of these travel songs are baller.
They're really good. I wonder if it's purposeful because, you know, you have like the initial songs you learn as a child and these that you learn as adult Link. And these feel just much more, even just like the orchestrations, yes. Like the joy.
Richer, for sure.
Yeah, like it just feels more complex.
Well, and sorry, I want to play that one again just because, like, let's really listen for the, there's a term in music called the Picardy Third, and it's actually maybe not in this one. But the Picardy Third is when you would be ending on the tonic chord, the like main home chord of a song or a piece of music that's in a minor key. But instead of just doing the minor chord, you just make it the major chord. And just listen to you'll hear it a lot in like church like chorales, like, you know, large sort of pieces of music like that. But just listen to the quality at the end of Minuet of the Forest and tell me it doesn't sound like something you would hear in church. That just sounds like, you know, uplifting in a way at the end.
I also just really, I love the, like, kind of call and response.
Yes.
Part of it, like, with the, which one was it that, was it Saria's song or whatever that we said had, like, kind of pastoral feel to
it? Yeah, Epona's song.
Epona's song. This also feels very pastoral to me.
I want to go S tier with this.
Yeah, I love, this is my favorite so far. I really love the Minuet of Forest.
All right, where are we going next, Mark?
We're going to the Bolero of Fire. And ooh, I just love the word bolero.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it recalls Ravel's Bolero, the most famous bolero.
Which also originally was intended to be the...
Great point.
The underscore for The Legend of Zelda.
Which is an interesting thing to consider. The... Part of what makes the Ravel Bolero so, like, iconic and special is not that it's a fantastic piece of composition, but that it's a fantastic piece of arrangement. 'Cause it's a one melody that just, like, continues over and over again, but it gets bigger and bigger, and the orchestration becomes richer and more bombastic every single time it's repeated. But there's this ostinato rhythm that kind of goes under it, this, like, ta-ta-ta-ta. And the Bolero of Fire borrows that. So let's listen to a little bit of the Bolero of Fire. Again, ending on that major chord where we had no business being in a major key. But yeah, that little, like, that snare drum that kind of, like, underscores it. Another one that's very cool. I don't know that I put it in the same class as the Minuet of the Forest.
Does that one feel longer to you, though? I mean, I know the inputs are longer. This is the one that's 8 button inputs in order for it to start. But it feels like you're rewarded for that extra little bit of effort. Because that's some real music going on.
Right. Like, well, and what's interesting, again, to like compare it to the Ravel Bolero, is that it doesn't get too much more... like complicated in terms of its texture, but it does become more harmonically complicated as it moves through different chords to get to that. I think it's an E major chord at the end. But yeah. And again, just like sitting on a major chord, which should be minor, which is still just endlessly funny to me.
So I would put it in A tier, I think.
Let's put it in the A tier. Bolero Fire in the A tier.
So going from the longest in the game to the shortest in the game, the Serenade of Water, which is associated with the Water Temple. Just 5 inputs.
And 2 of those inputs consecutively are the same, although the chord under them we'll hear changes. So this is a cool one. I really like harmonically how this one works. Again, no business ending on that major chord.
They're all just genius.
Yeah, although I do feel like this one goes in the B tier.
I completely agree.
Genius piece of music, B tier.
I agree. I feel like this one is, by itself, when it's just the ocarina, does not sound good. And then it is when the accompaniment comes in that it's like a nice reveal. You're like, oh, I see how this all works together.
Right. Well, and like I almost wanted to like, because it's that and it, I feel like I wanted to be like and just like it's lacking in those rhythmic subtleties, even when it plays it back to you. I don't know. It's good enough to not be in the C tier with a Sun Song.
I've also got to say, it's my least favorite name. The Serenade of Water.
Yeah. I mean, a serenade is also just a song, right? That's just a different word for song.
I feel like it should have been Aria of Water.
Sure. Like Avatar 2.
Yeah, exactly. We're on a James Cameron thing.
Mm-hmm.
Up next is the Nocturne of Shadow. Now, talking about a good name. Nocturne of Shadow.
Perhaps redundant, as Nocturne means like night music, right? A little Nocturne of Shadow goes like this. I'm going to take it again. Again, faking the major key at the end.
Yeah, this one, they're like, oh, we're faking you out. This one's depressing, except at the very end, we're gonna come up a little bit.
Well, and what's, not all of these, but a lot of these pieces are ambitious harmonically, but truly there is no tonality to the beginning of the Nocturne of Shadows. The left-hand accompaniment is parallel fifths going up by half steps. I think we need to listen to it again, because it truly, when you're listening for that harmonic information, sounds insane in your brain. I'm gonna play it again. It's so discordant. Until it gets, you know, nice and sweet.
This is a C tier to me. I appreciate it, but I don't really like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm coming from as well. but I did want us just to appreciate what's happening there harmonically.
So next is the Requiem of Spirit. This is the one that Sheik teaches Link after he enters the Spirit Temple. Always got to leave you feeling happy.
Yes, they all leave you feeling happy. I like that this one has like an interesting little like counterpoint melody to the main ocarina melody that like echoes that same line back to it. Can we listen to it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell it I don't want to warp to the graveyard.
Should we record all of our episodes with just the ambient sound of Ocarina of Time? It's very relaxing to me. I'm like melting into my seat.
It's cool. What do you think?
I like it more than I feel like it is, for me, a more pleasing Nocturne of Shadow.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
I feel like they're playing with a lot of the same ideas.
Yeah.
I like the...
Like one is holy and the other is death, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I think I like the Requiem of Spirit more, but it's still like B tier to me.
I'll agree with that.
So that leaves us with the final song, which is the Prelude of Light.
Goes like this.
Wow, that triangle, I've never really noticed it before. Like, really working overtime.
Yeah, triangle is really working overtime. I don't love this one. It feels like the Sun Song to me.
Yeah, I don't really love this one either, which is kind of disappointing. It feels like it should be the grandest.
But it's
it
not.
It never gets going.
It's kind of just like, it starts at bright and cheery, and then once the melody fades away, it's just like sustained chords. And then that triangle, like you said.
Do you mind playing it one more time?
Yeah, let's do it. It's like I want there to be melody here.
Yeah, it just kind of like... Especially the beginning feels like it could be building to something, and instead it just kind of dissolves at the end.
Yeah. Also, that like bum 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 feels like it could be like an 80s new wave song, right?
Hey, that's not
like a Dexy's Midnight Runners
no, totally.
B-side.
Yeah, which is in some ways a virtue.
Uh-huh.
But if that's what it was going to be, it's got to really jam.
Right.
And it never jams.
Right. Come on, Eileen.
So I think that is...
I think it's going in the C tier.
I think that's a C tier.
All right. So let's review what we've got here.
Right.
And if we need to hear any of this music again, you just let me know and I will play it. So in the C tier, we've got the Nocturne of Shadow, the Sun Song, and the Prelude of Light. Prelude of Light.
In the B tier, we have the Song of Time, Zelda's Lullaby, the Serenade of Water, and Requiem of Spirit.
In the A tier, we've got Epona's Song, Saria's Song, the Song of Storms, and the Bolero of Fire.
And then in the S tier, we have the Minuet of Forest.
All by itself.
All by itself.
Do we think that we need to graduate any of these A tier songs to the S tier, or is the Minuet of Forest just like our number one?
I know you just put the Ocarina away, but I feel like the only way
the Ocarina is it's right here.
I feel like the only way we're gonna be able to do this is to do we want to start at the bottom or do we just want to figure out the headliners right now?
No, let's start at the bottom.
Okay. So Nocturne of Shadow, Saria's Song, Requiem of Light.
No, Sun Song.
Sun Song.
Yeah,
like the character from Lost.
That's right.
Yes, this makes sense. Okay.
Jin Song?
Thoughts?
Let's see. I think that Nocturne of Shadow and Prelude of Light. I think the Sun Song is at the bottom of this.
Okay. And do you think it's just because it has the it is just unfortunately the least complex of all of these?
I think so, yeah.
Like the payoff for inputting Sun Song is not that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel that is the case. But the Prelude of Light versus the Nocturne of Shadow, I think we're going to have to play these to really be able to say anything about them. So first, the Nocturne of Shadow.
Give us a little break from the Prelude of Light.
This is better than the Prelude of Light.
There's something about the Prelude of Light that is, like, chintzy.
Yes.
Like, feels, like, cheap.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
So I agree. I think, do you mind playing Sun Song again? Because I wonder if Prelude of Light might be the least good piece of music.
Here's a Sun Song. And then, of course, a rooster announcing the dawn of a new day. What do you think? Or do you need to hear the prelude of light one more time?
Let's hear the prelude of light. I'm sad to say. I can hear the triangle echoing in my head. I don't know. It's just like the Prelude of Light is so much more complex.
Yeah.
You know, but
I think I like it better than the Sun Song.
Okay.
I go Sun Song, Prelude of Light, and then Nocturne of Shadow. Although the Nocturne of Shadow may climb its way out of this
maybe, yeah.
tier.
Well, yeah, because we're basically done with tiers and now moving into the ranking.
Right.
So I do think it's possible.
So in the B tier here, we've got the Song of Time, Zelda's Lullaby, the Serenade of Water, and the Requiem of Spirit. Probably Serenade of Water is the least good of these for me.
I do think so.
Do we need to hear that at all, or I'm just going to put it above the Nocturne of Shadows?
Yeah, let's put it above the Nocturne of Shadows for now. Can we hear the Requiem of Spirit again?
We certainly can. Requiem of Spirit goes like this. It's cool. That's a good piece of music.
It is cool. I think I like Zelda's Lullaby more than I like the Requiem of Spirit. But I don't know about the Song of Time.
Should we hear the Song of Time?
Sure.
And again, these kids' songs don't get a lot of... What am
no,
I looking for it, right now? Song of Time?
Song of Time. It definitely puts them at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it goes Song of Time, Requiem of Spirit, and then Zelda's Lullaby on top of that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Zelda's Lullaby better than the Song of Time? No.
No.
So
the Requiem of Spirit above Song of Time, and then Zelda's Lullaby above Requiem of Spirit.
Yeah, that feels right to me. Should we just keep on this and then like check the list as we go, or should we check the list right now?
Yeah, let's go into the A tier.
Okay, going into the A tier. Although once we do the A tier, the Minuet of Forest is just like guaranteed. Let's just double check something here. I want to determine whether we like the Serenade of Water or the Nocturne of Shadows better.
Okay.
Because I think that may be a question. Which would you like to hear first?
Let's do the Serenade of Water. There's something about the step down in Serenade of Water, like at the end there, that feels very Zelda to me.
Oh, interesting.
In a way that like the Nocturne of Shadow, which we should play,
right?
Like doesn't, like musically doesn't feel like, you know, like Zelda.
I think if it were just me, I would flip them. But if you like the Serenade of Water better, I think we can leave the ranking as it is.
I do think I like the Serenade of Water better.
Okay. But I'm glad that we went back and investigated it.
Yes.
Okay. So now we are in the A tier, which consists right now of Epona's Song, Saria's Song, the Song of Storms, and the Bolero of Fire.
And I've got to tell you, I think the only way we're going to be able to do this is by, like, by playing them.
Okay. Well, call them out, and I will, because, you know, I have to go over to the ocarina here.
Okay, let's do Epona's song first. Okay. Should we go right into
I mean, maybe we should. Yeah, just call them out and I'll play them.
Okay, all right. Let's do Bolero of Fire next.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's almost not a fair fight. Let's do Saria's song.
Oh boy. That's also like elemental, right?
I know,
like,
that's the thing. It's like what that is able to do with just a few notes.
Yeah.
Where, like, the Bolero of Fire really kicks in when it has, like, the lush orchestration behind it.
Right. But it's also, like, that's a thing about a bolero.
Right. Okay, last one, which is the Song of Storms.
And I guess all of the kid songs do, in fact, have, like, more music that go with them. They're just part of the, like, background music in other areas of the game.
Uh-huh.
So maybe judging them just on what Link performs is selling them a little short, but that's actually what we're doing here, right?
Yeah. I mean, I comparing Saria's song and having Song of Storms right after it, they are in some ways very similar to me.
Yeah. They're both little dances. They're but both little jigs.
They are little jigs, and I think I like the Song of Storms better. Between the two.
I think that's right. Saria's song, that do-da-da, that is very, like, kind of joyful. But Song of Storms gets to joy and, like, eerie discomfort at the same time.
Has a little bit of more, like, complexity at the end.
But Epona's song is so... First of all, I think it's very interesting that when Link plays Epona's song, he squares off all the notes. So it's, bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. But when you go to the actual Lon Lon Ranch, it's ba-da-da, ba-da-da. It swings him a little bit. It's just funny to think that, like, Link is too square to swing when he plays.
Well, yeah, and it, at Lon Lon Ranch, it almost has, like, that little bit of, like, Western twang.
Yeah.
Like, rodeo
yeah.
to it.
Mm-hmm. So, I think I like Epona's song better than either of the other two songs that we're talking about right now.
I think I do, too.
But Wither the Bolero. So just within this, we're saying that of the three songs, Saria's song is the bottom, Song of Storms is the middle, and Epona's song is the top. But where does the Bolero go? It's a fun, like, novelty. It's joys do feel like novelty, right? But that's not bad.
It's not bad. It's hard because I, listening to the Bolero of Fire, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good piece of music. But I did not recall the Bolero of Fire before this, whereas, like, Saria's song, the Song of Storms, and Epona's song are all foundational.
Yes. Well, they're foundational, and they have multiple uses throughout the game. The Bolero of Fire, you only use it to warp to the fire dungeon. Right? Like,
yeah.
So any of the adult songs just get, like, way less use. Once you've, like, finished the Forest Temple, you never have to play the Minuet of Fire or the Minuet of Forest ever again.
Uh-huh. But I feel like the Minuet of Forest captures, like, the essence of Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I agree.
In a
that.
Way that, like, the Bolero of Fire doesn't. And none of the other adult ones do. You know, like, I feel like the Minuet of Forest is the closest to Zelda's Lullaby, Epona's song, Song of Storms, and Saria's song, in that you're like, oh yeah, this sounds like Ocarina of Time.
I kind of tentatively want to put Bolero of Fire below Song of Storms, but above Saria's song.
Okay.
And then, I guess just by process of elimination, Minuet of the Forest is our number one.
It's our number one. Let's listen to it again. Make sure that we're happy with this, because, not to put you on the spot, Patrick, but I think when we go from bottom to top, I'm going to ask you to play all of them.
What do you mean not to put me on the spot?
Minuet of Forest first, of course.
It's great.
I feel like
it's good twice. Like, it is good in like the very like minuet-y, like little waltz part of it. And then when it like gets to the more like lush strings and it's like, no, this is Zelda.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It just feels like that is a perfect little ocarina piece.
Well, I think so. Minuet of Forest is at the top of our list. And I really think the best way to go through and gut check this is I will read them up and it'll just be easy for us to compare, you know, one after the other. And we can kind of decide if anything needs to move.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so we are starting with Sun Song, which is number 12 on our list currently.
Oops. And truly, that's all that music ever is. It never has more accompaniment to it.
No, there's like, I've talked about this before. I listen to mixes of video game music while I'm working a lot of the time. And so often after Sun Song, there is like music that goes with it that's very just kind of like gentle. And if you heard, I'm not even going to try to hum it because there's no way I could. But if you heard it, it's like instantly iconic. But it is not part of Sun's song. Up next is the Prelude of Light.
Where'd my melody go? If the ocarina just takes a break, lets a harp take over.
Is there something about like Mario 64? Does that remind you a little bit of like Mario 64? I feel like when the ocarina goes away and it's just kind of the
oh sure, yeah,
the, like dun dun, those like steps.
If it just had like that kicking beat to it, it would be like the end of Mario 64. That like dun 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 dun,
yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Uh-huh. But never gets there. Up next is the Nocturne of Shadow.
Which is, I maintain, a cool piece of music. You kind of feel like it chickens out at the end, though. Mm-hmm. That it's like so dark and weird, and then is like, oh no, we'll just end happy because they all end happy.
So number 9 is Serenade of Water.
That one's like church.
Number 8 is Song of Time.
Sorry.
Are we undervaluing the Song of Time? That's pretty good.
It is pretty good, but I mean, where is that on our list? Number 7?
10, 9, 8.
And number 8.
Yeah. Let's compare it to the Requiem of Spirit.
Yeah, that'll be a nice comparison point. Do we like it more or less than what we're about to hear? Requiem of Spirit is a little bit of like a dirge, right? That makes sense. But yeah, I wonder if maybe you're right that the Song of Time should be above that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling.
All right, swap.
So we'll swap that. So Song of Time does become number 7.
Hey, I'm a prophet.
And Requiem of Spirit, number 8. So our number 6 is Zelda's Lullaby.
Oh, and I'm playing all of these? Did I forget what we were doing? Honestly, are we undervaluing this one?
I mean, it's pretty impeachable.
Unimpeachable. Yes. Well, let's compare to Saria's song and see if maybe Zelda's Lullaby should bump that one down. Oh, never mind. Saria's song is better. Saria's song is better.
Yeah.
I gotta say, these are easier to play on a Nintendo 64 controller than on
the 3DS.
Wait,
I want to go back. Do you think Saria's song is better? Here's my deal is that I think, like,
tell me what your deal is.
Zelda's Lullaby being used elsewhere in the series way more than like Saria's song is makes me.
It's the music of the Lost Woods. Like it's ubiquitous.
But that's like, good or for ill.
Yeah.
What we've heard of Saria's song. Is Saria's song. It just, like, repeats endlessly.
No, but it's you know, like, it builds up to a...
Yeah, you're right.
Blum, 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 blum. I feel like you can groove out to Saria's song and the music of the Lost Woods more than you definitely can. You can't dance to Zelda's Lullaby.
You can't dance to Zelda's Lullaby.
Oh, by the way, I got to cue up some air horns.
I think Zelda... Oh, I'm really torn on this one.
I think Zelda's Lullaby stays where it is.
Okay, all right.
I say it advances no further.
I'll trust your gut. And let's do the Bolero of Fire.
I just think it's so cool.
I think it is really neat. I'm so
you
sorry.
You were getting what?
I feel like it should go above the Song of Time, below Zelda's Lullaby.
Above the Song? No way. It's so much better than Zelda's Lullaby. This feel Bolero of Fire. And look, I get that like Zelda's Lullaby ends up appearing in many other Zelda games, but the Bolero of Fire is like borderline a complete musical thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is as close to like a full piece of music as any of these ever become.
I think that's fair.
I feel really good with it where it is.
Okay.
And I love the little the use of the Ravel snare drum to call that idea of like the Bolero forward. And you know, it's the Bolero's relationship to the original Zelda, like, that's all very compelling.
That's a good
to me.
Point. Okay, so we're into our top three then.
Top three!
So number three is the Song of Storms.
And again, you really gotta remember that it keeps going.
Yeah, you do have to remember the rest of it.
Yeah, because like without like the organ grinder, like it feels kind of hollow. But like we know where it comes from and what it grows into. So I think third place is right for that.
So number two is Epona's song.
Thank you. Tell me what you're thinking. Mark's looking at me like he's he's doing some serious thinking.
I do wonder if Epona Song and Song of Storms should be flipped.
Let's swap them. So Epona Song being demoted to number 3, Song of Storms being at number 2, and the Minuet of the Forest. I think we need to just hear it one more time because I think it is our unquestioned winner here of the tournament. Minuet of the Forest goes like this.
So good.
I love it. I think it totally works. So that's our number 1.
Yeah, so I think we have our list.
Do we need to recap it? Just
yeah, are you ready to play them all again as we go through it?
Stop that.
Number 12, Sun Song.
Number 11, The Prelude of Light.
Number 10, Nocturne of Shadow.
Number 9, The Serenade of Water.
Number 8, Requiem of Spirit.
Number 7, For Real This Time, The Song of Time.
Number, as Patrick foretold.
Yes.
Number 6, Zelda's Lullaby.
Number 5, Saria's Song.
Number 4, The Bolero of Fire.
Number 3, Epona's Song.
Number 2, The Song of Storms.
And number 1, the best piece of ocarina music is the Minuet of the Forest. All right, Mark, let's close this out. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember, get in our Discord or email us if you think we messed anything up here.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of room for debate.
I think so, too. And it's all very subjective. I feel like we did a good job, but I don't feel like we did the only possible good job.
I think you're right.
Nonetheless, this is definitive.
Oh, for sure. And Patrick, yes. I wanted to say thank you so much for accompanying us. That's a lot of pressure to have to play these songs on demand. So thank you very much.
I should have brought a piano and just played these with a real instrument. Thank you so much to our 16-bit patrons, Connor McKay, Patrice Millette, and David Henley. We appreciate you all very much. We appreciate everyone who is supporting us on the Patreon, and we appreciate you for listening
and
to the show.
And we support you. You're right.
No, I don't think we do. Look, if you make decisions we don't like, I don't know that we're going to support this. Join the Discord. Email us, NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Eller saying thank you for listening.